Ciao ragazzi, welcome back to Inter Worldwide, and it's another one of those link-ups with a rival fan, but you know what, it is what it is, and I'm just so pleased to welcome this guy on the channel. We've been speaking for a long time. He's got years of wisdom and knowledge to bring to us, so I just want to say thank you to my friend Armando from Melbourne for joining us on Inter Worldwide. How are you, my friend?
I'm well, thank you. What a great introduction. Now the expectations are very high. So, but one thing, not a rival, because I'm pushing, I change it a lot, to try to get all of us fans united. Only if we united, we can beat the monster that is killing our love of football. So yeah, that's the only thing.
And that's where the conversation is going to take us today. I've brought in Armando specifically to talk to us, to dive deep into the financial implications of this pandemic-stricken code of our game, football. Because if COVID did anything, it's really put us into a corner, all these major clubs. And for a lot of the time, Armando, I'm sure you will agree, as long as these big clubs have had liquidity, they can ignore their debt. Barcelona can be 1 billion euros in debt as long as the fans are still coming in the stadium. They're still all buying their Messi jerseys 3 or 4 times a week. But it's not just Barcelona, it's everybody. And that's what we're going to talk about. If you're one of the 8 people that's already in this chat right now, I thank you so much. And don't forget to leave a like on the video, whether or not it's Facebook or YouTube. Before we start, Armando, give our listeners and our viewers a bit of an introduction for yourself. Who are you? Where do you come from? Who do you support? What's your history as a culture fanatic?
All right. As a culture fanatic, my history goes back to the day my mom was pregnant. I'm from Napoli. I'm a Napoli ex-ultras. When I say ex-ultras, means that I've been around, been doing the bad and the good side of ultras life. I'm not here to promote the bad side of ultras. I'm here to promote the love for the football, but it's my past. I'm not going to disregard, and it was a great experience, and I'll probably do it all over again if I was young. I think we have our age and the brain to suit our age, and we do the stupidity for our age. I did mine. So having said so, I really something come up. Don't forget, that's you. Sorry, I don't get a message from one
of
the
viewers. Yeah.
I've been in Australia for 20 years. I'm the founder of Napoli Ultras Melbourne Club. We don't do much live anymore now. We speak over social media due to the distance, the pandemic and everything. But I've been in football all my life. I played for the Napoli youth. Then when I found out that I was not good enough, I turned to be an ultras. Then when I traveled to Australia, I went back to play football, and I've been football since. I've been playing, coaching, so I've been football involved. And I've been in contact with a lot of top club. I have a good friend at AC Milan, I know it's your opponent, your cousin, but I'm a really good friend with a couple of big, big names at AC Milan, which I don't want to say it on YouTube, because I always try to keep those VIP people private. It's not nice to share their stuff unless they come under my social media. They do public comments. I used to work for AS Roma. I work for Valencia, Real Vallecano, and I'm in the middle of dealing with the general manager of a big academy in Australia that is linked to Real Madrid in Spain, which I don't know if it's a good thing right now being linked to Real Madrid, but we're going to go into that very soon. So
thanks,
it's very hard
great
to
introduction.
Do the introduction. One more thing. I want to see this, and this I want to make this clear. This, what I'm going to say, it's regarded a personal war that I have against the Agnelli family. It's a political war. If people watching this video and are Juventus supporter and thinking that Agnelli is just Juventus president and I'm attacking Juventus, please change channel, go watch the Wiggles, go watch Peppa Pigs, because that's not the case, all right? This is not, I will speak the same way if Agnelli tomorrow morning by Napoli. If Agnelli tomorrow morning by Napoli, I will be his enemy number one, no matter what. Because this is Italian history, the political history of Italy. We can't go into that, because we're talking about over 100 years of history. We'll need to do long episode, but I want to say two things. If you got time, Google Gigi Moncalvo. Gigi Moncalvo, it's a journalist that used to live with Gianni Agnelli seniors, used to spend time with him taking notes. Standing happened, then Gigi Monclavo got kicked away from Gianni Agnelli. Gigi Monclavo wrote a book called Il Segreto degli Agnelli, or Agnelli Segreto, I can't quite remember now, which is over 500 pages, which is over 4 or 5 YouTube episodes. Actually, you can find Gigi Monclavo YouTube channel as well. So don't let's not waste time here talking about this because it will take forever. If you want to know where I'm coming from, go search those stuff and you will go like, wow, you never heard that kind of stuff.
All I love that my guest is coming here. He's coming here with the references. He's coming here with the sources. He's very well prepared. There's no stuttering in this guy. And that's why I brought you here, bro.
Hey, you wanna talk, you're going to back yourself up. I'm not a white Facebook warriors. I'm not going to go there and say, oh, but Corriere dello Sport says Gazzetta say that. No. Fact is fact. Opinion are opinion.
Yeah. The regulars are in the chat right now. Now, Biggie and Indra Hari. Of course you're curious, bro. How could you not be? I'm bringing in this guest for a good reason. Before we dive into the big issues, man, I wanted you to talk a little bit about our situation. We talk about it here all the time. Zhang, Suning, the injection of funds. The latest media is that we had a 400 to 500 million injection from the Chinese state government. I don't know if it's a great thing. I don't know if it's a good thing. What it really does, it just seems like it's another way for Suning to subsidize and delay their debts because they really think they can get back on track liquidity-wise if the gates open and football returns to normal. But Armando, just give us in your own short opinion, what do you think of the current state of Inter as Italian champions? Because at the end of the day, you got to understand, Inter, I said it on my previous video, winning the title at Inter this year is like you wake up the next day and your water bill, your gas bill, your electricity bill, and a speeding fine are all waiting in the mail the day after you get paid. That's the way it was with Inter. We didn't get lots of time to celebrate before the bad news shook us. Where is our club currently sitting, in your opinion, at the moment?
In my opinion, and honestly, I try not to get influenced by all the news and media because my idea is that most of the journalists, they have no idea what's going on. So they just toss the coin in the morning and come up with some of the opinion. All right. For what I can see, beside the $400 million euro that I think David from the Facebook page mentioned to me today because I was asking him, beside that, what I see into Inter right now, it's first of all, I'm with you, man. If I was an Inter supporter, actually, full on love from me for all the Inter fans. They won the Scudetto, and the day after they're gonna go through this. What Conte did is so bad. I'm so upset because I believe in football. There's been people that are real men. And there's people that are just chasing the glory. And Conte, I never liked him because he's always been a glory chaser. It's always been a Bahrain. And what he did to Inter, it's exactly what Conte is. Conte doesn't care about no one. Conte is a Carramato, which is a tank. He will go over his man body. And that's kind of person that I dislike in life. If you put success, money before everything else, you're not a right person for me, all right? I don't say it's right or wrong, but you're not a right person for me. What I see at Inter Financial right now, for all I heard, it's that there is a lot of chaos, there is a lot of speculation, a lot of media just trying to play the scare factor because it's easy, clickbait. I start putting down bad things about Inter. Everybody's going to click and read the news. And if you notice, it looks like it's a chase. Who's the first one to copy and paste the news and everybody repeat itself? You never heard of a journalist be on the field, knocking to door, opening up paperwork, reading, go to the financial side and tell us the truth. It's, but this guy said that. I follow a lot with Sole 24 Ore when it comes down to financial because Sole 24 Ore states official statements coming from, because business, what people don't understand, business like Inter, like Milan, like Napoli, Juve, their business, they cannot have their accounting and their financial hiding. It's a public thing. You need to know what to look for. You need to know how to read those numbers, but you need to read it. What I see Inter right now, it reminds me a lot of AC Milan, Juventus. AC Milan with what was called the Chinese owner. I forgot the name.
I think it was Yongzhong Li.
When Yongzhong Li end up getting money from Elliot, and then by the end of the payment date, he could not pay it. So the AC Milan went to Elliot. I think right now, no one will buy a football club. No one. So Inter Milan owner has his own issues because he's in China, because the fund has been blocked. That's all official stuff. The debts and all this other stuff and the number, I'm not going to comment because we don't know the real number. But the real story is that any Chinese money has been blocked and can't go outside of China. So any Chinese investment outside of China is probably going to go through this kind of issue. Now, if they try to sell Inter, you're going to tell me who in the hell, and pardon my language, is going to put money in a football club right now? Who?
Yeah.
Who's going to be so crazy to say football is dying, there is no money, COVID, crisis, no TV, no spectators, no sport. Let's buy Inter Milan. So what I think Suning is doing as a businessman is buying time.
Yeah.
Where this is going to lead, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I'm not a big fan of foreign investors. And what's really scared me are those funded investimento, like the Elliot from AC Milan, because those people, they have only one thing in mind, making profit. They don't care about the fan. They don't care about the club. They don't care about the history of the club, the heritage of the club. And that's why we end up having the Super League thing starting. Because the people involved in the Super League, they got two things. But we're going to go back into deep whenever you want. Big, huge debts. Don't give a damn about the history of the club.
Yeah, okay. If you are still here in this chat, there's 11 people right now. Make sure you leave a like and stick around because we're about to get to the juicy stuff. What do we got? Indra Hari says, what about Inter SPAC? News about them wanting to the 50+1 thing at Inter. I know that they do this thing in Germany a lot with most of their club. It's the whole concept of saying you need half the fans on the board on your side plus an extra vote in order to do it. What are you saying to that, Armando?
Last night, I saw the interview at the press, the Inter, what's it called, Inter SPAC. First time I heard, apparently it's been around for a few years, I didn't know. They were on Tele Lombardia, Top Calcio 24. Rossi, the Inter journalist, was going an interview with him. Yes, they have a fund. Yes, they want to try to enter into Inter Milan. But he also said that so far up to yesterday, they never spoke with Inter Milan. It's a number of Interisti fans that got money, they put money together and they create this fund. And if they're going to go ahead, they're going to ask other people to join them. This is work in Germany, works great in Germany. I would love to see that in Italy. But once again, we go always back to the same thing. In Germany, the wealthiness of the people is very high. It's the only economy driving the whole Europe. They can do it.
Yep.
In Italy, who's going to put money? I'm going to put up money for Napoli, you for Inter. How much money we can put? We need a million of us to make a good
money. Yeah, I understand.
But yes, I heard about it. And actually fresh last night. So I can guarantee you that the president of the Inter SPAC said yesterday on Tele Lombardia, interview from Rossi, that they have a goal. This started 2 years ago. They have all the paperwork ready. But so far, they never spoke with the Inter Milan and Tucson.
Yeah, fair enough. Thank you for your opinion on Inter and Suning and the direction. Go on.
That was a lucky call that I watched the show last night.
Yeah, it was lucky, but it was a good comment and thanks for replying to it. It is what it is. It's not a good situation at Inter. It's a bad one, but I don't think we're alone. I don't think we're unique in the football world like the media makes us out to be. Like, we are the only club standing on the end of a cliff. So thank you for confirming that for us, Armando. As a true Napolitana, probably the craziest Napolitana I've ever met in my life. I mean, I've never met a Napoli Ultra before in my life. That's a first for me today. So let's talk a little bit about the direction of your club in the not-too-distant future.
It's all here, Bello. It's all beautiful. Here. See? It's all here. Can you see Napoli hanging we do in Napoli?
I can see.
Huh? All right.
Beautiful.
Napoli financial, I have to say, Sandy, and this is a criticism to a good percentage of Napoli fan, because all I hear, De Laurentiis does want to win. De Laurentiis doesn't want to invest. De Laurentiis doesn't spend the money. Now, Napoli, for the first time, has been a green team. When I say a green team, a team that has no debts. I hardly remember, even when we had Maradona, we had debts. Because Napoli bought Maradona with the money that Ferlaino had to get as a loan from the Banco di Napoli. All right?
Yeah.
We're talking about debts already in the 80s. So, as a fan, I'm happy never to win anything but to have a team that fights for the top spots and goes to Champions League 6 times out of 10. Because in the last 10 years, Napoli plays Champions League 6 times. For where we're coming from, for where we've been, I was there when we had Savoldi. I was there when we had Maradona. And I was there when we had Zvok in Serie B. I was here spending hours on the radio to listen to the Calcio Minuto per Minuto just to hear, we tell you about Serie C, Napoli is 1-0. That's it. That was 90 minutes on the radio to hear the little bit. Now you tell me today's fans, they're upset with De Laurentiis because he doesn't win the Scudetto. You guys are lucky. You can watch Napoli on TV. You got Napoli on PlayStation. I had to make my own team when I was a kid because there was no Napoli live on those games. Because we are second division, third division. So as far as Napoli, I'm happy. I don't care. I'm actually proud that we got rid of Gattuso. I was against Gattuso when he arrived. Decent guy. Lovely guy. If I'm going to go to war, I take Gattuso with me. But if I need to coach a team, I need somebody that understands football. And as everybody criticized De Laurentiis, explain to me how come Gattuso signed up a contract 4 days after with Fiorentina. Now you know how long it takes to get an agreement with a club and sign up a contract. Everything was already decided. So I'm happy with Napoli. Of course, we're going to struggle. But guess what? Yeah. Because a good base of our fans has been against De Laurentiis for the last 2-3 years. Those Stronzi, they never went to the stadium. So we were the smallest attendance ever in the last decade. So we really, with COVID, we didn't lose much. Also, because Napoli does not own the stadium, we never take full amount of the selling ticket. What does it say? Napoli have to own the stadium.
Exactly what you just said.
Now, listen, that's a political issue. And we're going to go back to my hit against Agnelli. Napoli will never have a stadium. Like Inter Milan will never have a stadium. Roma will never have a stadium. Why? Because the politician that run the city will never let us be. I'll give you a question. I got a question. You are the owner of Stadio San Paolo. I pay you rent to use Stadio San Paolo. You, the person that can give me the permission to build my own stadium and move on. The moment you give me the permission, the permission, you lose me as a tenant. What are you going to do with Stadio San Paolo? And that's exactly for San Siro, for Olimpico. That's why they will never do. And that's why there's a capital law in Italy. The law is this. If you build a stadium lower than 40,000 supporters, you don't need some particular permission. Guess how many supports a G stadium does? 39,000.
You know what? It sounds like a good enough time than ever to move into the next part of the podcast, Brad.
Yeah,
I've talked about my opinions about, obviously, Juventus and Agnelli on this channel. To me, you know, he does seem like the ultimate snake, no matter what he does. But you're about to give us a much more educated, backtracked opinion. Well, not really opinion, just an overall thought of the operations of this gentleman and how you think in particular he might just be at the end of the road now where he's gotten away with it before, see?
I've been fighting against the Agnelli family since I was at school. I actually got kicked out of school when I was 12 because I did a tema. A tema is like a, you know, in Italian things that you talk about some historical fact. And I spoke really bad about the Agnelli family. And I just grabbed Garibaldi, which is a big idol for Italy, like a pedophile and a murderer in South America. And they kicked me out. Guess what? In 2007, it's been declared that in South America, Garibaldi was raping kids and killing women. 20 years after I was, because there is the public opinion, the media, what they want you to believe, and then there is the real history. You all you need to do is look for the real history. Now, going back to today, like I said, we're not going to start talking about Agnelli and the Fiat, the fascismo and the post-war and everything, because we'll take it forever. Go search yourself, Gigi Moncalve, and you're going to blow your brain away. But let's put it this way. Everybody talking about UEFA. UEFA is corrupt. Juventus, Barcelona, Real Madrid want to save the world. If they want to save the world, all right, if they want to save the world, they will say, you know what? We take all the leagues outside you because you are cheaters. You take all our money. Now, I got a question for you. Who told Juventus to buy Cristiano Ronaldo and give him $35 million a year? Who told Barcelona to give a contract to Messi that you can buy Napoli, Inter, Roma, Lazio and Verona all together with Messi contract? Who forced it? Did UEFA and FIFA put a gun in the head of Agnelli or Perez or the Barcelona president, which I don't even know the name, and tell him, no, you have to spend those money? They did. But what they did, they spent the future money. See where I'm coming from? All they did, they spent their future money. The future money of TV rates, the future money of the games, the future money of everything. Guess what? COVID stuffed them up. Because the future money, they're never going to come in. So that sits up here. There is no revenue coming anymore. So they start to be scared. Barcelona, without Messi, it's finished. The Barcelona pre-Messi was an average club. Real Madrid, they don't know what they're doing. They saw Ronaldo. They never replaced him. They're going down. They finished second or third this year in the league. They got eliminated from Champions League. They got no revenue. They got no money. They have to take a pension and coach to go back to coach them. Barcelona is coached by Koeman. I will not pay Koeman to coach my son. He's an amateur club. And Juventus is on the same way. Juventus was on the peak when they had Marotta, and Marotta was doing great. Even if I hit the guy was doing great. Buy stuff for free and sell it for double of the price. Buy people really small. When Juventus decide to buy Cristiano Ronaldo, it's a classic step longer than your legs. Cristiano Ronaldo, what people don't know, the agent of Cristiano Ronaldo knocked at too many clubs' door. Cristiano Ronaldo was trying to come at Napoli and win at Napoli because his ego wanted to prove the world that he was the best in history. And to do so, the only way you can be the best soccer player in the history of the universe is to win at Napoli. You don't win at Napoli, you'll always be seen as a second of Maradona. Classico. It's unfortunately something that we're going to bring on us forever. You know, we had the best, won a little, and that's it. We're never going to win again. So, but financially side, and Marotta told Agnelli, what are we doing? We cannot do this. And when people talk about sports, oh, we're selling double of the shirts, we're selling double of TV rates. Do you know our contract work? I sign a contract. See, this is my sponsor here. Right? I don't sign contract because I'm a little guy, but this is my sponsor. I want them to vest me for 2 years. All right? They're going to say, we give you $1. We vest you for 2 years. Now, in those 2 years, doesn't matter if I get on TV with Anthony and Anthony's got 4 million viewers on his YouTube channel, I'll still get the same money for those 2 years. All right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if I sign Cristiano Ronaldo. And when you're selling the shirts, Juventus doesn't sell shirts. Adidas sells shirts. Adidas give Juventus $1 million a year. I don't know. Just say a number. To suit you, and we sell the shirt. So it doesn't matter if you sell more. Okay, there's going to be always some terms and conditions when you're going to say above this number, you get this percentage, above this number. But this is a standard contract. So Juventus shoot themselves on the foot. Imagine if they invest those money, they spent for Cristiano Ronaldo, to buy two top midfielder player. There will be dominating Europe.
They will have to buy Ronaldo
because don't forget they had Higuain when they bought Ronaldo. Higuain was at the peak, he just left Napoli. They had
Dybala 90 million at the peak. As well.
Yeah, they had a top team, and all they need, because their midfielder was disgusting, all they need two top midfield players. They were going to become, I was so scared because they were going to become the best football club in Europe, because Real Madrid and Barcelona was finishing. What they did, instead to do the right investment, it's like you just get into a new house, you know, you want to do everything. Instead to build a new kitchen, a new toilet, a swimming pool, you go and spend money on a Ferrari. But your house still need to be fixed, the heater, the hot water, you know what I mean? Fix the house.
Yeah.
So that's where Juventus go really screwed. And what happened is they were hoping to get the money coming from the revenue, the sponsor, but COVID blocked everything. So all the club that were making more money are the one they're going to suffer more. That's why I'm saying Napoli, we were doing bad already before COVID. So it's not... We always survive, not on sponsor, not on TV, not on fan, on selling players. Even this year, we're probably going to sell Fabian or Koulibaly, make our money, do the market, and we're going to be in green. That's us. But that's something that Juventus, Agnelli, Perez will never do. They don't want to accept this. So what they decide to do is say, you know what?
So what are the repercussions that are coming on the horizon, do you think, because of all this shit?
Those clubs use the Super League as a cheat yep. way out of the debts, because people say really bad things about Fair Play Financiario, FFP. Say, oh, but PSG can spend all the money. The rule of FFP, it's simple. You cannot spend more than what you're making unless your president puts the money from his pocket for free, without return. Because before the FFP, what's going to happen was that my club is $200 million in debts. I'm the president. I put $200 million in. End of June, book and green. 1st of July, I'll take my $200 million back, because it was a loan to the club. UEFA said enough is enough. So whatever money you put in, lost money. Now, unfortunately, PSG president is neat, and he got money coming his nose. And he's got money to put up. So he's not been cheating the system. He's been using his own money. But Real Madrid, Juventus, Barca, and they try to bring Inter, because Inter had issue, Milan, because Milan had issue, promised them $300 million to register, to join them. Why? Because those 300
million... Can I interrupt for a sec? Enough.
Yes. Yeah.
Is this the big reason why they did not invite Chelsea to join the league? Because they know Abramovich can take care of himself and he doesn't want anything to do with it? Is this the reason why they neglected to invite Chelsea? How the fuck do you not invite Chelsea? How do you not invite Chelsea? They just won the Champions
Chelsea.
League.
Chelsea. What about Bayern Monaco and PSG? All the clubs with money, they're never going to be there. See, when you start talking clear and you take off your supporter glass and you start see a pathway, you say, hey, what I say, what's going on here? You know why? Because come June 30, those clubs need to balance their book. And the only way to be not fined by UEFA was to participate to a no UEFA competition. Now, let's go to the Super League. Let's go to the sweet stuff. Everybody focusing on UEFA against those three clubs. No. It's those three clubs against ECA. You know what ECA is? I think a lot of people are confused with this. ECA is not part of UEFA, is not part of FIFA. ECA is the club, European Club Association. So all the clubs in Europe, over 240 clubs, united to sit at the table with power and deal with UEFA and FIFA. Now, those clubs made the Agnelli president responsible to sit down with UEFA and organize the new format of Champions League. The night before the new format of Champions League was about to be announced, sign off by Agnelli, because Agnelli was one that pushed for the new format. Agnelli resigned, Perez moved away, and they launched the Super League, attacking the reform of the Champions League. They were part of them. You know what is called in legal terms this? Conflict of interest, and that's a crime. Now, Juventus, Inter, and Barca, I'm not going to face UEFA. UEFA is going to face ECA. If they don't punish those three people, ECA is going to go hard on UEFA. We're talking about 240 clubs in Europe. Abramovic, the PSG president, the Bayern president. This is people with power. They step on people with power. They step in a very wrong area. They try to piss off too many people. Now, think about the president, Prime Minister of England got involved. Prime Minister of France got involved. The Prime Minister of Italy got involved. This is big. They piss outside the bucket. And once again, excuse my languages, but, you know, fair is fair. We're fans here. We'll trust anyway. We speak the way we want. So, now, imagine you and me are part of a union, all right? We're the union of YouTubers. We sit here and we deal with YouTube about us getting more money and everything. The day before we are about to sign a contract with YouTube, you resign and you open up your own YouTube, new video streaming channel. All of us YouTubers are going to say, what the? You are our president. You're supposed to represent us and you betrayed us. Now, you think those nine English club that they redraw, or nine, seven, whatever they are, they redraw for Europa League. They redraw because they were scared of the fan. Oh, listen, I'm all for the fan. And if UEFA fights those three clubs and it's in favor of the club, even if UEFA doesn't want to do it in favor of the club, they do for money, but the outcome will be in favor of us, we're going to go with them. It's like somebody steal my car in Napoli and I knock to the door to the godfather next door and say, hey, somebody stole my car. He's going to find my car. I know he's a criminal too, but in that moment, that criminal is serving me for a purpose. So UEFA right now is serving us fans for a purpose. It doesn't mean that UEFA is clean. It doesn't mean that UEFA is fairy tale. They're all angel. But we're talking about the biggest industry in the world, football, with trillion of money moving every year. And you really think they're all clean? No one's cheat. Oh, I'm going to mention, before we go to the Super League, I'm going to mention only the last things that just come up on TV now. Forget about the VR, the part of the video without sounds. There's been a UEFA, what you call in English, a hobby investigation done by about the agent. Because so many agents play in the free agent card. What happened is the free agent card, it's a crime. Because I signed my player with you to be in your team, but they're telling me never renew. So in 5 years' time, we're going to leave for free. Apparently, they find two million of euro every year moving under the table. Because Raiola, yeah. Because people like this. This is big. This world of football right now is on the verge of a big change. 3 or 4 years ago, me, Anthony Seminara, ciao, bello, good friend of mine, great Juventino, we said that the football was dead anyway. What we watch now is not football. But there's a big bubble that was about to burst. The bubble is busted because you have clubs now that got no more money and they tried their way out. Last thing, people say, but the Spanish judge said that UEFA cannot stop another league starting. Otherwise, would be a monopolies. All done. UEFA never said not to start. Never said, you want to start? Go start your league. But if you play there, you don't play here. Why? Because if, let's say this, tomorrow morning Superliga start with those 12 clubs, all right? What does it stop the year after? Napoli, West Ham, Lille, all the second great team of other leagues to start their own league. And what about all the lowest team to start their own league? Everybody will move away, first of all. Second, people have been associating this to the Bosman sentence. Oh, battery low. All right, maybe I need to change the plugs. Let me see if I can do this.
No, that's all
can
good.
You hear me still?
That's all good. Take you your time. Yeah, I can still hear you.
No, that's all. Fantastic. I got the other one. The other one seems to be okay. So what I was saying. So let's say the Spanish judge said that UEFA cannot stop. Yeah, cannot stop. I cannot stop you to start another YouTube channel. But if you start your own YouTube channel, I don't want you in my YouTube channel anymore. Now, there is two articles that every club, people don't know. Clubs to play Serie A, Serie B, Serie C, UEFA, every year, they need to register. They need to sign a contract. Their contract give the solo, the, what do you call, the unique. I'm going to play just for you.
Yeah.
If you want to win your league, I guarantee you that I only play for you. So Juventus, Barca, and Real Madrid, they don't want to sign that public work anymore. So they're not going to play those league anymore. It's simple. It's law. They can start their own league. Now, this is not going to happen. Am I against punishing the club? Because you punish the club, you punish the fans. And it's not your fault or my fault or Juventus fan fault if our president, for some reason, do something wrong. They should punish those people, remove them from football, give the club to somebody else. I will never punish a team. For me to see a team relegated or a team not participate to a competition because the president is an offense towards the story of the club, towards the story of the fans, people that sacrifice, they don't hit to buy the ticket, people that don't sleep at night to watch the game. They're not responsible for this. But unfortunately, right now, all the other club back up, those three clubs, they don't want to back up. So there's only one way out. The head of Agnelli, the head of Perez, and the head of the... Oh, I keep forgetting the name of the president of Barcelona.
Bartomeu, I think his name is. Bartomeu.
Yeah, see, no one knows it. No one, Barcelona is only known because Messi. See, that's how bad there is. This is how bad there have been. Anyway, so these three people, they've never been so weak in their life. Agnelli this year got punched in the face from every direction. He got punched by De Laurentiis when the game was got rescheduled, when he was playing the card... You know, no, we won the 3 points. Agnelli got punched in the face with the Suarez scandal. He had to throw Paratici under the bus. He goes, no, it wasn't me. Paratici did everything. So that's the same story. The same story that he used when Agricola got fined to drugs the player. Oh, but I didn't know nothing. Agricola was doing everything. Like, I work for you and I cheat so you get profit, but I don't tell you. Nothing comes in my pocket. But anyway, forget about it. He got punched in the face for that. He got punched in the face now with the VR because the three referee 6 months ago got interviewed. What happened at Inter-Juventus game with Pjanic fall? Oh, no, no, nothing happened. It was an accident. We spoke over. We said, no, no, it's not yellow. The president of the Procura, Pecoraro Scagno, resigned because a president of Procura asked for a video taped inside the VR room. He got it 6 months later without the audio. When he asked, where is the audio? Oh, we only taped the audio of the important call. Guess what? He got their hands on the 90 minutes video. The whole video got audio except the 45 seconds when they talk about Pjanic. Now,
they call.
You see the video? I posted. Like, yeah,
I've seen it, but I'm just saying it's bullshit. It stinks.
Yeah, listen to this. Listen to this. Those three referees, look how dumb they are. That's when you think you are so powerful that you start pissing outside the bucket and everybody can see. Those three referees took Leyene to court because the Leyene put suspect. Now, because they put Leyene to court, Leyene lawyer had to put his hands on all the pipework and the video. So that's how Leyene got the original video. So pretty much the referee taking the Leyene to court, hand over all the clue to the Leyene. How stupid they are. That's how
they shoot themselves in the head. It's horrible. Listen, it's like they shot themselves in the head.
The story's long. What about the ultra Juve fan that was selling ticket to the Ndrangheta? It was driving to go interview by the police and suddenly stop his car, jump over a bridge and kill himself. Wait a second. All this belongings from his car. When the Carabinieri arrived on the scene, first of all, the body was under a bridge in a shape where you don't know in a shape when you jump over 100 meters bridge. All right, your brain will be a kilometer away. But it looked like he's been killed and then thrown away. Anyway, his belongings were not found in his car. But 2 weeks later, Juventus manager knocked to his wife's house and gave his belongings that they were not found in his car. So those belongings were taken from his car between his death and the arrival of Carabinieri. All this, it will go ahead. Don't worry. When we will find out the truth, Agnelli will be old or dead, but the truth will come out. Because that's true. Mm. It's every day. This is not Armando opinion. You Google, you find everything. Because the beauty of internet is you cannot hide the truth.
Yep.
You can cover, but the truth is there.
So I guess that's the real block. Question
I don't
is
know
after
what I was
all
talking
that.
About.
No, it was brilliant, but I guess the real point of view and the real question after all of that information is, what's a realistic punishment and reprimandment? What do you think is going to happen to the likes of Agnelli?
Okay. Are we actually looking at,
because I don't think the football world is ready for the headline, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Juventus, banned from the Champions League.
Okay, I'll tell you two things. People say, if UEFA banned those three teams, they're going to lose money on sponsor. We go back what I said before. No, the TV rights has been signed, which we've been illegal. Put it this way. We've been legal to have a contract of sponsorship requesting teams to participate to the league. Because that would be against the sports. It's illegal. When you sign a sponsorship agreement with a competition, you sign for the competition. That competition will be seen teams participating. They earn the spot to participate in it. No teams got guaranteed. What about if Juventus or Barcelona or Madrid finish fourth or fifth and don't not qualify? The TV rates going to take money back? No. Once again, people talk because they are ignorant in regard of contract material. When you sign a contract, there is terms and conditions. And those terms and conditions are there to prevent anyone to be shifty. Like in this case. Sorry, UEFA said Juventus did not match the FFP, can't play Champions League. Now, like I said, I'm against punish the club, but by Monday or Tuesday, those three clubs are going to be 2 years banned. What's going to happen is this. Those three clubs are going to take UEFA to the Supreme Court in Europe. Now, the Supreme Court in Europe will rule, say they don't have competency to decide this. for this reason. If, imaginary world, the Supreme Court says to UEFA, no, sorry, any club that plays for you can organize his own league, his own friendly game, his own games, and make his own money, but you still have to let them play for you. You know what that means for Europe, not for soccer, for Europe. Think about basketball league, football league, volley league, rugby league, spada league, handball league, marathon league, every single league they're under the CONI, under the Olympics things, we fell down because everybody was free to go everywhere. So even in an imagined world, if those three clubs are right, they will lose because of the political pressure from all angles against this, it's huge. Do you really think Abramovich, it's Dama the Parrots? Somebody like Abramovich from Russia, they know the shiftness.
Oh, yeah.
They live in shiftness. They invented shiftness. Yeah, yeah. The money.
Yeah, yeah. Abramovich is on a different level, bro. This guy's got ties to the rest of the world that these other guys could only dream of.
And you think that guy is stupid, though?
No, no. He's probably the most clever owner on fucking football.
He's going to let these three... He's going to let these three spoiled child, because Agnelli is not the owner of Fiat. He's not the owner of Juventus. He's just a representative of the family put there as a president. The real boss 100%. Is Elkan. And Elkan is peace with his cousin. It's peace. And I give you a couple of big news. I'm not sure yet when it's going to happen, but if Juventus, Barcelona, Real Madrid get disqualified, the only way for those teams not to be re-entered is to remove the three heads, chop them off. Apology to the rest of the world of football and accepting huge fine. Huge. Because the English Premier League clubs and Inter Milan and AC Milan, they took a huge fine. Because 5-6% of the income of the Champions League will go to Charlie. That's a huge money. Especially for Inter and Milan, they are like Napoli. Every single cent counts right now. All right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So sure. Even 5% is 5% less. So what is going to happen to me is this. First huge ban, then apology, resignation, chop the heads off, and then reincorporation of these three clubs in with big apologies, blah, blah, blah. But if those three people, heads don't come down, then you're not going to see those clubs in the Champions League. Hey, it's not just Champions League. It's Serie A as well. Because in Serie A, you cannot participate unless you sign the contract. And the contract says that you're not allowed to participate to any other league unless it's recognized by UEFA. See, people don't understand. It's all about
law. They don't know this shit. They don't know this stuff.
Contract and law. Law and contract. You can't make things. I can't say, oh, but I'm Juventus. I've got 6 million fans. Don't care. Contract and law. Law and, sorry. You know, I should say Juventus. Say Real Madrid or Barca because I've got so many friends, Juventini, they probably hit me right now. But this is not an attack of Juventus. It's an attack of Agnelli. Because if you know the story of Agnelli, now, you got 5 minutes for me. I tell you a story.
Oh, bro.
And then you're going to say, oh, this is exactly what Agnelli is doing with Juventus right now, with the Super League right now. Italy, industry, but in general, but more specific, the motor industry is being destroyed by Agnelli. You think, oh, what are you talking about? Agnelli is the owner of Fiat, Ferrari. Agnelli. To get Ferrari, made Enzo Ferrari go bankrupt. And then he took Ferrari off him. Agnelli destroyed Alfa Romeo, who was a huge brand. He destroyed Piaggio. He destroyed Ducati almost. He destroyed almost anything he puts his hand on. Because the way they operate is, it's this. I enter, I destroy you, I take all your belongings. That's the Agnelli politics. If you go back in history, you will see a pathway always the same. Look at this. Juventus, it's not even in Torino anymore. If I was a Juventus ultra, I would try to kill my president. He took the Torino badge from my logo. He took my club in Switzerland so he doesn't pay tax in Italy, where Italy has been paying the Cassa Integrazione to the Fiat for 20 years. You know what Cassa Integrazione is? Agnelli used to say to the president of the Republic, sorry, I got no job, I got no money, I'm going to shut down all those factories, you're going to have all these unemployed people. And government say, no, wait. We pay you Cassa Integrazione, which is we pay your employee the 80% of their salary so they don't lose their job for 20 years. Now there is nothing to squeeze anymore from Italy because Italy is dead and they move their their house, their financial home in Switzerland, so they don't pay Italian tax after they took money from us, from me and you. Me, I, my dad paid for Platini, no Agnelli. The employees, they pay their tax. The money taxpayer paid for Platini, Boniek, no Agnelli. Agnelli never used a dollar. All right? This is big, guys. You don't understand how much Agnelli screwed the car. You know, Agnelli Senior was the right hand of Benito Mussolini. He was supplying with the tanks, car, and everything. Then the fascisti lost the war. Agnelli got banned. The Fiat got took away from him. He was not allowed to go there. Suddenly, a few along the line, one of the Agnelli family go marry one of the Churchill family, and the Fiat go give it back to Agnelli. He's the only family in Italy, the only industriali that survived. First war, fascismo. Second war, comunismo. First democrazia, seconda democrazia, mani pulite, you name it. All the scandal in Italy, it's only one family that survived, the Agnelli family. Yep. Olivetti, go on. Yep. Cragnotti, go on. Ferlaino, go on. Moratti, go on. They all disappeared. They all finished. They got no money. Agnelli still there. Ask yourself, how come?
Yeah, 100%. If you're one of the 17 people in this chat watching this video, make sure you smash a like and support. This has been one hell of a tee-up with our boy Armando. Pretty much you've been able to bring into fruition everything I've been researching and theorizing for a long, long time, man. It's just when you've had to deal with so much Agnelli dominance, you feel like this guy is going to bully the football world out of the game that we love. But now it just looks like he's bitten off one too many that he can chew. I'm still trying to picture a world where these clubs aren't in the Champions League. But from what you're saying, it sounds like they've broken laws that are unbreakable.
We but they're only broken laws. Now, going back to the first thing, beside everything, they piss off 240 most powerful men in Europe. Did you see the interview with the president of PSG? Did you see the interview with the president of PSG? Yeah, check what he says about Agnelli, Perez, and the Super League. You know, muck around with those Arabs, man.
Yeah.
They get you disappeared. You know, you don't muck around with Abramovich. You muck around with the Americans, they haunt the English clubs. Oh, do you really think those people got scared about UEFA and resigned from Super League and went back to English Premier League? Or do you think the big American investors that are huge in big case, lawyer case, they call them billions lawyers and ask, this is the situation, we'd be asked to join this. This is what we offer. This is what we're risking. What's going to happen? Do you really think those Americans resign from Super League because the Chelsea fan or the Man United fan or the whatever fan were outside the stadium protesting? They don't care about the fan. They never care about the fan. They shit themselves because the lawyer said, man, you're crossing a big line here. You're about to piss off a lot of powerful people. When politics get involved, forget about everything else. That's why I'm glad. I never saw Agnelli so weak like this year. I'm waiting for the final push. And tell you what, I don't want Napoli to go in Champions League because of Juventus. I just want to see Agnelli finish on the ground, on his knee, begging for mercy. I don't care. I'll leave Juventus in Champions League. Just punish Agnelli. Get rid of the toys from this
school.
I will not accept to go in Champions League instead of Juventus. Even if they, you know... Because it's not the prince, it's not the Champions League, it's the principle. I want my football back. And only if we all unite as we can do. If Inter, Milan, Napoli, Juve, Roma, Lazio, we need to be united in this. We have to stop fighting against each other. They need us divide because it's easy for them.
Good luck telling the Juventini fans this, but good luck telling the Juventini fans this, but they're very happy up on their Agnelli dominated pedestal at the moment.
But it depends from the fans. Now, also, I'm a big racist when it comes down to fans. I divide people in fans. And before, we used to call plastic fan, but I got a new terminology that I launched a few years ago, customers. Those ones that turn on the computer, buy the merch, and they don't care. And they follow Manchester United now because Cristiano Ronaldo is there. And then they move to Real Madrid. And they move to Juventus. They are customer. And, you know, that's another big thing the club are taking a big risk. Because football is in fashion right now. So all these people are huge market for them. All right? While us, We the traditional fan, we the one that we're going to support a team in third division, fourth division, we don't care. We're not there for the golden logo, for the name, or for the TV rates. We're there for our club, all right? I went to watch Napoli in Serie C. I didn't care. Actually, you know, to be honest, I enjoyed more. You know why? 80,000 support, they were there for the game, full stop. Not for anything else, not to be on TV. Now, you running a business, and you got two type of clientele. Your regular clientele, the one that come every day to your shop, all right? And then you got this new market, online clientele, because you're in fashion now. Your brand, it's fashion. You're taking a risk when you say to your local clients, your regular client, the one that come to you every day, say, sorry, the shop is closed. You want to buy from me? You can only buy online. Because what's going to happen is this. Those fans, they support you. They support Real Madrid now, let's say, or Barcelona now. They will do like this and jump to another club or to another sport when it become fashion. Oh, look who's here, my little one. Hello. Go, Arlie, go.
Beautiful. So keep going.
Those clubs, they put all their eggs for the top clubs, for the Asian market, American market. What's going to happen when football is not in fashion anymore? Like, look what happened to the Chicago Bulls. When they had Michael Jordan, we all had Chicago Bulls stuff. Chicago Bulls, I had it too. I never watched a Chicago Bull game. But I know Michael Jordan, and I had the Chicago Bull head. What happened to them since Michael Jordan left?
What's happened? Nothing. Zero. Anymore. Nothing. Yeah.
Zero. Yeah. Because the people like me, the customer of the world, we stopped buying their merchandising, and we moved to something else. So... Putting all this hype in this Asian market, North American market, they're not going to last forever. Simple, because they know that with their heart. So the moment that you're not going to give them what they want anymore, the trophy, the names, the success, they're not going to follow you. They're going to move to the next hype team or to the next fashion sport. Yep. And that would be a dream come true for me. I dream of a football war with zero clients, just fans.
Well, it's the ideal world, man. And like, you can only look at the recent international tournaments, like the World Cups and whatnot, with how much has gone wrong there to see that the true passion, football, authenticity of football is just gone. It's gone, bro.
Melo, you just nail it. People say, people don't go to the games because the stadium are bad. What are you talking about, man? I've been on stadium where you don't even have a seat. It was a marble and it was 100,000 people. You know why? The ticket was 10,000 lire. 10 euro or $10, and you fill up the stands because the fan, do you think a real fan care about sitting on a leather seat, having a flat screen in front of him, heaters, restaurant, food? A fan goes there to stand up and sing and support his club, no matter the look of the set. The stadium are empty because people are sick of having fake competition, fake representative of their glory, and club that disrespect their history.
Yeah, well said, man. Guys, time really does fly when you're having fun. We've been doing daily stuff here at Inter Worldwide, man. That's what I owe the growth to the content for. So it's been awesome. Armando, I can't believe we've been going for almost an hour already, man. It's been really good.
And I've been holding myself.
I know. I can see you holding yourself. It's been awesome. But you know what you've done? You've given yourself some reserved energy for next time you come on, bro. So is there anything else that you want to talk about or clear the air before we wrap up this awesome episode of Inter Worldwide? No,
guys, do yourself a favor, Juventini and not Juventini. Take off your jumper, all right? Go and Google, I give you, Gigi Moncalvo and Agnelli Segreti book. There's 5 YouTube videos or 6, about 40 minutes each, where he drives through the whole history of Agnelli, all the secret, the murder. You know, people don't know that this Agnelli right now took his money from his mom, because him and his nonna took the mom to court. So she didn't get the, what you call it, somebody die give you the money, the heredita, what's it called in English?
Like when they hand it down to you after they pass away?
No, when I die, I leave my property to my kids. What's this called? Heredita. What's this called?
It's like a will. We call it a will. Yeah. In your will, you leave
Agnelli, this Agnelli here, and his nonna, the wife of Gianni Agnelli, took Gianni Agnelli's daughter, Agnelli mom, to court. So she didn't have a single say. Oh, yeah, it's a story. It's a book. You know who's ahead of EXO? I tell you this. You know who's ahead of EXO? There's a little company with three director, all over age, pensioned, and the value of the whole company in control of EXO, the Agnelli pyramid, it's still registered for 1 million lire, not even 1,000. You didn't even going to change it. Still registered, understood. Three old name. I don't know, maybe they die now. I'm talking about 5-6 years ago, last time I checked it. The Exors, a trillion company, it's under a little company where there's three old people signing as a director, 1 million lire each, which is 1,000 euro each. That's fact. You can go and check. It's not Armando opinion. Everything I said today, you can check online. Like I said, go check Gigi Moncalvo. You find everything.
Armando's opinions have been met with a vast range of applause and accreditation within the chat. So I hope this is going to be the first of many appearances you're willing to make on my channel, brother, because it's been very, very informative, not just for me, but for all of the listeners here.
Any weapon I can use to share the true story about Agnelli is a good weapon. All right, so you're going to be a good weapon for me.
100%, bro, 100%.
Hey, we can talk about football too. Right? Don't unleash me always against Agnelli. Let's talk about some football too sometime.
100%. Today's conversation was only focused on this, but reading the feedback, and I knew that having you on the channel once would just open us up to talk again. So, Armando, I really, really want to thank you for coming on Inter Worldwide, man. Thanks for giving us your time.
Thank you. Thanks to all the followers. Let me thank Ricardo for shouting me last times, you know, and let me thank Anthony Seminara, because me and Anthony have been friends forever. And thanks to all the Facebook page that we open up and we keep getting shut down by Facebook. I had the luxury to meet lots of great people, including you, Bello. Thank you very much for having me.
Anytime, bro. I can't wait to link up soon. Okay. From all of us at Inter Worldwide, ciao ragazzi. We'll see you soon.